questions for you. Number one, how many of you have turned off Facebook? How many of you have turned off the news? I'm literally at that point. I'm done. I noticed a few days ago that I was becoming mean and angry on Facebook and replying. And I said, okay, I need to stop. And so I went on a kind of a Facebook fast, trying just to regroup everything that I'm doing. And then I told Polly that, and she goes, she sees me on Facebook. What are you doing on Facebook? And my daughter sent me something I got to look at, you know, type of thing. But I think sometimes we need to take a break from everything, and that's kind of what I'm doing. If you do send me an inbox, I will respond to it because it comes up on my phone, but I am not scrolling like I was. So, I was going to ask Diana Lee a question, and I don't want to embarrass her or anything, but I'm going to ask her this question anyway. When you were at Channel 21, what years?
1995.
You just missed where I was going for. Just missed. how many of you were that class? You were that class in high school. You know, the ones that you say, we were the class. The boy they were glad to get rid of. I think everyone kind of wants that distinction, okay? Am I on? Hey, how did that turn off? Okay, I'm on now. So now you can really hear me. I think everyone wants to have that distinction from one way or another. But you know where Carroll High School is. Okay, because you used to be on Channel 21. But we were the class. We were the class that the principal didn't even show up to the graduation. Okay, so, and let me give an example of everything that happened. Okay, so, we decided, see, that was the year that all the school teachers in our area were going on strike. And so, if the example's given to the students, what should the students do if there's something that they don't like doing? What do? We went on strike. And so we were supposed to have a pep rally for the ACAC tournament, and they decided not to have it because some of the kids were getting out of hand and everything else, but we wanted a pep rally anyway, so we had our own and we went on strike. So that was the beginning. We had somebody in our school, in my graduating class, decide to bring a bomb to school. It's a little CO2 bomb. I guess you do something, put a little gunpowder in it. Well, he blew up a toilet. And I was in, I still remember being in Mr. Beard's math class, and all of a sudden we hear this boom, and then there's foggy type smoke going down the hallway, and we found out that somebody blew it up. Well, then someone else decided in our class, saying, you know what, I can make a bigger one. So he decided, but he wasn't going to set it off in school, he decided he was going to bring it and sell it. So he made a bomb that was equivalent to 12 shotgun shells, brought him to school, put it in his locker. That's the exact same day that the state police came in with their sniffing dogs, and they were trying to find out who's bringing these into the school system. Guess who got caught? He was a band member, but what made it even more interesting is that he was supposed to go to a military academy. And he still went, but guess what his MOS was? MOS is basically what you do, bomb disposal. And so we had that. We had someone in our class that decided that was the years that they gave up on smoking in school. They said, if you're going to smoke, bring it, but this is a designated area. So they gave them a designated area to smoke. They took the FFA or the Ag Department's greenhouse that was made of fiberglass. They took it over and they put it into this is where you can smoke. When it's raining, you can smoke in there. Okay? Well, one of the smokers had a lighter and he says, I wonder how quickly it'll take for this to burn. So in the middle of lunch period, the fire alarm goes off. They direct us to the front of the school, the back. We look back, and there's this black smoke just rolling. We thought the whole school was on fire, but here it was just the greenhouse that was on fire. Well, one of our firemen at the Huntertown Fire Department was a recent graduate of the high school, and he decided to drive the fire truck. And he drove to the fire, to the high school, and I've never seen it before, and I don't know if I'll ever see it again. I'm looking right at my fireman back here, but I saw a fire truck literally on two wheels when it was turning. He was no longer on the fire department. And so we had all this that was happening in our school, and then graduation comes, we find out the principal's not even showing up. So we were the class. We were the class. We have the distinction. However, why am I sharing this with you? Let me tell you the rest of the story. 2 years before that, Youth for Christ started to come into our high school. And they were part of our high school and another high school. They were coming together, and Youth for Christ was coming in. That year that we had all those issues is the year that the principal said that he did not want Youth for Christ in our school system, and so they were not allowed. Coincidence? I was curious, so I talked to a man named Justin Mofford this week, and he's part of KHM. KHM Kingdom Harvest Ministry, the Bible Belief Program at our Parkway and our Salina schools. And I asked him, I said, I know it's going to be very, very hard for you to judge this because everything was shut down so quickly. But do they want KHM back into the schools at Parkway and Salina? And he said, absolutely yes. Matter of fact, the principals are basically saying that they can't wait for us to get back in. And I said, why? This is a comment he made. They noticed a difference in the students.
Amen.
Yes. So you see the contrast here. A school that said, church, get out. You see what happened that year. By the way, the next year they brought it back and they didn't have any problems. Well, they always have problems in school, but you know. Now, we're bringing the Bible and bringing religious thought back into the school system at Parkway and Salina, and they see a difference. Coincidence? And so now we are in our nation. And I had three sermons I was going to preach this week, and I wasn't quite sure which way I was going to go. I was going to talk about Proverbs, because that's where we're at in the chronological reading. Then I thought, well, I'm going to talk about fear, because some of us are really dealing with fear. And then probably about Thursday, this really started coming together, this particular sermon. You ever wonder what the world would be like if the church was not there? Look what's happening now. Now, even though the church never shut down during the shutdown, but the visible church was kind of shut down. And even though we continue to serve, and this church, I think, did a very good job in their service, because we went online, and we're still online. We're online right now. Hello. And we're also doing Bible studies online. And we're also doing, we gave face masks out. I shared all that we have done. So the church has still been there. But the visible church, when the secular people think of the church as far as the building, it was shut down. And so now we're at a point now where we're seeing a lot of things happening in our world and in our society, especially in the last couple of weeks. And I believe that we're seeing pure evil that's happening in the world and society. And it's just as not the United States. In fact, the following countries are having demonstrations right now. Australia, Germany, New Zealand, Syria, Mexico, Britain, Poland, Canada, Ireland, Brazil, Denmark, France. All those nations right now are kind of in an uproar. And I don't think it's a coincidence that which we are seeing. I'm reminded of the scripture passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. And there's, it depends on which translation you got. If you have an NIV, it'll be a different translation. But I like the word. This came from the American Standard, I believe. And it says this. I've got to look over this way because... Why don't I just read it out of my notes? So, and you know what restrains him. And it's talking about the end times, talking about the Antichrist, the power of Satan. And it says, and you know what restrains him so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains. Hear that word restrain? I really wanted to highlight that. Okay? Will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all the power and signs and false wonders and with all his deceptions and wickedness. For those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they will be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluded influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged, so they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Okay. That word restrain is what I really wanted to focus on. Imagine a world without the church. And I thought about that this week, and it just came to me. We're seeing it. Now, this is a glimpse, I really believe, of what the world would be like without the church. If the church wasn't here, it would be so much worse. The influencing power of the church. And I'm... You know, I preached a number of sermons here on the benefits of the church and what the church has done for mankind and society. I've done that many, many times. But there's another spiritual side that we tend to neglect. That the Holy Spirit is restraining evil on this earth. Why? Because the bride is here. And had the Holy Spirit not restrained the evil on this church, Satan and his dominions would just destroy anything that has to do with God and godliness. You think things are bad now for the church? It would be even worse had the Holy Spirit not been here and restraining things. I'm reminded of, in the Bible, of Elijah. When the king of, I just lost his name, was coming to attack him and get him, and his servant came out and looked and says, "Oh my, look at all these people. Look at all this vast army that's coming against you and I. We're doomed." And Elijah prayed, and the Lord opened up his servant's eyes, and he looked down and he saw chariots of fire that were protecting him from any of the king's army. And I think if we were to open up our spiritual eyes, we would see the same thing here. I think that we would be seeing this great protection upon the church. Just as the same thing in our own world. I believe that the Holy Spirit is restraining, holding back. Read a commentary here. It says, only the Holy Spirit has the power to hold back sin becoming full-blown. Can you imagine if the Holy Spirit was not here? So I think about it. If the Holy Spirit is here and the Holy Spirit is part of the church and we are the bride of Christ, why is there so much influence of the church on the world? And I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, when he said, we are the salt and light of the world. You want to know what the answer to these last 2 weeks in our society is? It's Jesus. Amen. You want to know what the answer is to our society and everything that's happened? It's the church and the message that we hold to. And I'm going to show you something here a little bit later that really hits it right on the head. But what is salt? We are the salt of the world. Now, you got to understand that way back when Jesus was talking about salt, salt was very valuable then. It's not like we have today where you can get a whole salt shaker for 25 or 30 cents and you throw it everywhere. You go up to Cleveland, there's a big salt mine in Cleveland that's used for road salt and everything else. It's not like that. But salt was very, very valuable back then. In fact, the Roman soldiers were paid a little bit in salt. I read some commentators that were saying that the word salt is found in soldiers in the Latin. Or salary is also, the word salt is found there too. So it's just some interesting thing. So it's very valuable. So keep that in mind. When Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you know what he's saying? He's saying you, the church, are valuable. You are so important. So what does salt do? Number one is it enhances taste, right? Who likes that? Okay? You ever tried eating sweet corn without salt? Popcorn without salt? Just not quite there. And now I know Abby, me and her are friends now, because I talked about in the first service, I said, how many of you like buttered noodles with a lot of salt?
Amen.
All right, yeah, oh yeah. I've been eating that. You know, get the old, you know, slurp it up, and butter hits your face, and you know, that's food. Okay, it enhances the taste there. A year ago when I was in the hospital for that night, wasn't sure if I was having a heart attack or not, which I was not. The next morning they brought me food. Guess what kind of food it was? Salt-free diet. You want to talk about the most boring, yucky food I ever had. Now, if anybody's working in the cafeteria, I'm not going to get you. But there was no salt. What did they give me?
Salt.
Mrs. Dash, my friend. I was talking to Andrea Pendel, and she said, yeah, you just got to keep this in your mind. Mrs. Dash is now your friend. Put a little bit of that on. It didn't help. We needed some salt. Do you know that we are the salt of the earth? That we influence those around us? That we bring a little bit of God back into the fallen world? We enhance the world? You know, here you had Satan, Adam and Eve that disobeyed God, and Satan was brought into the world, and now we're under the influence of sin and death in the world. But it's the church that brings a little bit of flavor of God back into the world. We're the ones that, you know, have a little lighthouse up there saying, hey, there is a God. There's God. He loves you. Life is worth living. Life is great. Because God is God. And so we enhance society. We enhance the world. We also know that salt is a medicine. What is saline solution? Our nurses. What is saline solution? I'm looking at my nurse. What's saline solution? You better know it.
Sodium chloride.
Is what?
Sodium chloride.
I still can't hear you. I've got an echo here.
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride, which is?
Salt.
Salt water. Okay. So we know that medicines, salt is a medicine. Okay. How many of you, when you get a cold sore, you take a Q-tip, put salt on it, and just dig in your mouth? How many of you do that? I'm waiting for all your faces to go, oh, because it is extremely painful. But that seems to be the best thing that we have here in order to kill those cold sores. When I was writing the sermon, and I came to the point it's medicine, and I was thinking of a Q-tip, guess what I did to my lip? I bit it. About an hour later, I go, oh, here we go. But it is a medicine. And so, what is the remedy to racism? What's the remedy to violence and hatred? It's the medicine of Jesus. It's the medicine that comes from the church. And I'm gonna let you listen here in a few minutes to a black United Brother, to a Church of God black pastor who we were on a Zoom meeting with him this week where we were talking about racism, and he says, here's the answer, and no one's looking at the answer. Here's the answer to racism. It's Jesus. That's the key. All right. Like I said, we'll do that a little later. So we know that salt is a medicine. We also know that salt preserves. Before refrigeration, and they would take salt and they put it on the meat, and that would preserve the meat. And so we know that that's one of the jobs of the church, or of salt. But let me also tell you this, okay? I truly believe that the Church of Jesus Christ was not on this earth and that preserving, restraining power was not there from the Holy Spirit, that this earth would have been destroyed a long time ago by ourselves. Salt preserves. The hindrance of sin and its effects on the earth and the retardation of God's wrath salt purifies. Salt purifies. Let me get back to this. Let me get to my notes. If sin is the problem, how do you take care of the sin? It's the message of the cross. And who holds the message of the cross? The church. And, so we've gone through 2 to 3 months that I never expected that we would ever experience in my life. I mean, it's weird, everything that happened. But you know the best part about it, though, is that we started doing things that we never thought that we would do. And we're broadcasting right now, and more people have listened to the gospel. I still remember the day when I sat there with all of you, and I said, share this message right now, and you all shared it, and I shared the gospel message, and over 1,500 people were watching that message that particular day. We have shared the gospel with more people in the last 2 months than any other time in a small period of time, I believe, in Cambridge history. And I go back to what the women did with their Sunday school lessons and everything else. I mean, all this stuff was happening. And so now we're looking at possibilities that we never had before. We have something we're working on right now. You want to know what it is? Okay, I'm not telling you. No, I've been working with Abby on something. Okay. Do you know that the parks are shut down? Do you know that the summer concert series is shut down for Salina? You all know that? I called them up, and they said the church can use the pavilions.
Yay!
You know where I'm going? You know where I'm going? Wouldn't it be great if the Taborites or Abby's, whatever they are. What?
It's Tabor Town.
Tabor Town worship team. Okay. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if Tabor Town worship team were to go down to Salina some Sunday evening and do an entire concert, and we feed the people hot dogs, because we got 1,000 hot dogs sitting in the freezer right now, and we have to have our masks on, don't we, and rubber gloves and everything. Wouldn't it be great? And the pastor stands up and just say, God loves you. Listen to this, where you are. And all, wouldn't that be great? We wouldn't have that possibility had this not come about. And it's just not us, because every time I meet with pastors on Thursday morning, I'm saying, have any of you taken a day? Wouldn't it be great if all summer long there's a church there every night? You see, bringing the purifying message of Jesus Christ. to people who are watching the news saying, what in the world's going on? And we said, we got the remedy. The remedy is the salt. The salt is Jesus Christ. That's the remedy. That's the remedy. So salt purifies. And if you come to Christ, the neat part is the purification of the salt comes into our life. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, you're clean in your future. The next one is salt stings. Salt stings. Truth hurts, doesn't it? How many of you like somebody to come up and tell you the truth? We like to say, oh, you're just a nice person. You're whatever. Oh, Bobby doesn't know this. So Connie is in my office. Connie is my secretary, Connie Randall. If you want to know who she is, that's Mindy's mom. And last couple weeks I've been having a real hard time sleeping. Okay? And she looks at me and she goes, Pollock, you ready? Why don't you take some Tylenol PM? Did you see her? No. Okay, you want to know the truth? Give me Tylenol PM. I become the meanest person on the face of the earth. So I was taking it one time, and Polly goes, do you like my dress? No, it looks ugly, and you're fat too. I mean, that's what Tylenol PM does to me. Okay? And so if you want to know the truth, give me Tylenol PM. Okay, I didn't say you're fat too, but you know, I did say the dress was ugly. Gonna have a long drive home. I'm a long drive. I better take her to a nice restaurant, don't you think? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side? Thanks a lot, people. But salt's the truth hurt. And I think that's one reason why our society doesn't like the church, because we tell them the truth. There's a problem. The problem is sin. You're involved with sin. But that's it. No. You're against God's word. That is sin. It's a problem. And it won't be remedied until you come to Jesus Christ. Period. That's the message of the church. That's the truth. Okay? And people don't like truth. As that famous movie line says, you can't handle the truth. There was once a lady who was a sales lady, and she was in Europe, and she called up her husband. And she was flying home from Europe, and she said, husband, how's my cat? She asked, and her husband replied back, said, he's dead. Oh, honey, don't be so honest. Why didn't you break the news to me slowly? You just ruined my trip. What do you mean? He said. Well, you could have told me that the cat was on the roof. And then when I called you back from Paris, you could have told me that he was acting sluggish. And then when I called back from London, you could have said that he was sick. And when I called you back from New York, you could have said that he was at the vet. And then when I arrived home, you could have said he was dead. The husband had never been exposed to such protocol, but was willing to learn. Okay, I'll do better next time. By the way, she asked, how's mom? And there was a long silence, and then he replied, she's on the roof. All right. Yeah. Also, salt creates a thirst. We got a whole world right now that's trying to find answers, and we have the answer. And hopefully when people see us and see our lives, it creates a thirst. On the back of your notes, there's a little story about a 22-year-old girl who died and the impact that she had in her life. And all she was a prayer lawyer. A prayer warrior, not lawyer. Prayer warrior. And her life was just filled with this. But she created a thirst that people wanted to be just like her. As I said, there was a Zoom meeting this past week, and I want you to see this. We had a Zoom meeting with Art Battle, pastor of the Gethsemane Christian Disciples Church in Toledo, and Jared Brown, the pastor of the World Living White Church in Toledo, trying to give us some insight on with the black community, what's going on there, why is there so many issues. And I know you're probably getting tired of it, but I want you to hear what he says, because it's not what you think. Because he hits it right on the head. When he's talking about we are the salt of the earth, he hits it. You know, I was listening to this at the beginning. Oh, here we go, another one of these racial reconciliations. I've been through 34 years of this. But what he said was, I went, yes! That's the answer. I want you to hear. Now, he has a strong accent. So I just want to warn you this. So listen to what he has to say. He's up in that corner.
When it first happened, I said to my wife, here it is again. But another thing came to mind. And sometimes I've been accused of being too churchy, but how can you be too churchy if you're born again? That was always my response to that. And this problem has been around here in the United States for a long time. And one of the reasons I believe it has been as forceful as it has is because those of us that are trying to solve the problem are missing the mark. Since we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Therefore, if we're shooting at a target, but we're aiming at the wrong target, but we're hitting the bullseye, we never hit the real cause of the problem. And so I feel like perhaps we as the body of Christ, if we begin to attack the principalities and the powers first and arrest them and keep them from having this great influence that they have in the area of racism, then we can end those into solving the problem of racism if we can arrest the cause using that principle of cause and effect, which Jesus was great at doing. He would go straight to the cause, deal with the cause, and change the cause of the problem, and then deposit the cause of the effect. And if we would start dealing more with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places through prayer and intercession and a continuous teaching and preaching of the Word of God, perhaps the enemy within wouldn't be such a problem to us, then we can deal with the enemy without. But I think it begins by dealing with the cause. And some folks think I'm too churchy, as they say. But I really believe that the reason this problem has been around so long is that we've been dealing with the wrong cause. And I think that's really our call as the body of Christ, is to deal with arresting this cause.
So did you hear what he said? I know it's a very strong accent. Essentially, what he's saying is, we've been attacking the wrong cause of all of this. He says we need to start arresting the principalities and basically get on our knees and start praying. The answer to racism, the answer to all this, the answer to everything that we're seeing in the world today is Jesus. That's the answer. You can throw as much money into it as you want. You can kneel as much as you want in solidarity, but until Jesus becomes part of this, it won't be resolved. And that's essentially what he was saying. And when he said that, I went, yes! Because I believe that's the answer. The salt of the church. So who is the salt of the church? Let me get back to this a little bit. I hit the wrong button. Back up. Oh, I lost it. Sorry. I didn't want that video yet. But that's what I want. Okay. I won't touch it. Okay. Dan's going.
Yeah, thank you.
But who is the salt? You are. You say, what can I do about it? Are all things possible with those that love the Lord? Yes. There's a man named William Wilberforce. There's a movie that was made about him about 10, 15 years ago called The Amazing Grace Story. If you've never watched that movie, watch that movie, because it's about an evangelical Christian who stopped slave trade in England and how long it took for that to happen. His pastor was John Newton. Who's John Newton? He wrote what song? Amazing Grace. That was his pastor. And so he was an individual that started Bible societies in England. Free education in England. He also had some animal rights councils he did in England. But his main thing that he is remembered for is he's the one that stopped the slave trade in England. After 23 years of constantly going over and over and over to Parliament to ban slave trade, finally, after 23 years, this is what happened. Go ahead and hit it, and I won't touch it.
When people speak of great men, they think of men like Napoleon, men of violence. Rarely do they think of peaceful men. But contrast the reception they will receive when they return home from their battles. Napoleon will arrive in pomp and in power, a man who has achieved the very summit of earthly ambition. Yet his dreams will be haunted by the oppressions of war. William Wilberforce, however, returned to his family, laying his head on his pillow. And remember, the slave trade is no more.
That's being salt in the earth. And if you've never seen that movie, get it. It's powerful. What this movie doesn't show is he was 73, 74 years old. So it makes him look a lot young in the movie. He was 73, 74 years old. He died 3 days later. You are the salt of the earth. The church is the salt of the earth. Imagine a world without the church. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that the church is in the world. If not, I believe the gates of hell would prevail. You are the salt. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. And you're going to see possibly this in your life. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for what your word has taught us. And we pray that we will be the salt and the light of the world in all that we do. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you for the power of the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to close this morning with the song we already sang, Christ Be Magnified.
And Father, may you be magnified in all of us. May we be the salt of the earth, and may we influence our neighbors and our community and those around us and even our world. Let us not be people of saying, I can't, but let's be people who say we can. So may your blessing be upon each and every person here, and let us remember the importance of the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you all, and make sure you get some ice cream and some cupcakes back there, or I'm going to have to eat them all.